2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul had talked in the previous chapter about we're like clay jars. We're in our human bodies, we're weak, but within that clay jar is something beautiful and powerful. The grace of God and salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, and the ways that God chooses to use us, even though we are weak. And so he's kind of following along that same line of thinking with us being weak while we're here serving the Lord. He kind of follows that same idea here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So let's pray and we'll get started. God, I pray that you would just be with us for these few minutes, that we would focus on you, that we would not be distracted by the worries and the things of the world, but that you would help our minds to see your word and to hear your word and to grow in it and to live by it and maybe get some encouragement from it tonight. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be among us. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our temporary earthly dwelling is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. Now, we talked a little bit last week where Paul talked about his momentary light affliction. And then when we flipped to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we saw that that momentary light affliction was not light affliction at all. It was imprisonments and being stoned and being hit with lashes on multiple occasions and all of these different things. But yet, Paul still referred to those as momentary light afflictions because he had his eye on the bigger picture. He knew that he was a weak vessel in this world, but as weak as he was, he knew the power of God was great. And so as long as he was on this earth, he was going to continue to do the Lord's work. And here he begins to talk about our temporary bodies. For we know that if our temporary earthly dwelling is destroyed, he's talking about our bodies here. He's talking about, look, at some point in time in our life, whether it's through persecution for serving the Lord or just growing old, at some point in time, our bodies will begin to deteriorate. Now, everybody in here, well, you younger ones can't, but if you've got a little age on you, you can see that your eyes don't work as good as they used to, and you can't hear as good as you used to. You got a few more aches and pains than you used to. You go somewhere with a bunch of young folks, when it's time to stand up, they just stand up. When you go somewhere with a bunch of old folks and it's time to stand up, you hear a lot of grunting going on. That's because our muscles are sore and things hurt, and it's just the way it is. As we grow old, our bodies begin to deteriorate. And sometimes it doesn't even take old age. Sometimes just health problems, even at a young age, will cause our bodies to begin to deteriorate. And in Paul's case, his body was physically deteriorating as a result of some of this persecution that he had experienced, no doubt. I mean, these things, you get stoned and you get beat enough times and go through those things, it takes a physical toll on you. But nevertheless, Paul says, for we know that if our temporary earthly dwelling is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. So he says, look, even though things in this life might be difficult, we're looking past this life. Our focus is on not what we see. We talked about last week. Our focus is not on what we see, but what is unseen. And so he says, I know that even though my body is being destroyed here, I know that one day I've got a better dwelling place. That my dwelling place here is being destroyed, but God has something special for me when I get to be with him in heaven for all of eternity. And he continues on in verse 2. Indeed, we groan in this body, desiring to put on our dwelling from heaven. Since we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Now, we have this idea of groaning in this body. Now, I suspect there are some of us that groan, and the older we get, or maybe the worse our health gets, even if we're younger, we know people. And there comes a point in people's lives where they are just ready to go and be with the Lord. You've known people like that. You've known people, and they've lived their life, and the sickness has got the best of them, and their age has got the best of them, and people eventually get to a point where they'll just say, I'm just ready to go. The Lord's done all he can do for me here. He's used me in all the ways he can. And I am ready to go and be with the Lord. And understandably so. When we get to that point, we're not there tonight, praise the Lord. We're not at that point. We're still doing good. But you can understand how people get to that point. Even if you're not to the point to where you're ready to die, you still may have days that you groan inside this body. And that's what Paul says. Indeed, we groan in this body, desiring to put on our dwelling from heaven. Now, that's a good day. We think about all of our pains and our sicknesses and our struggles here, and we do look forward to a day that we're not going to experience those things, that we're going to have a better body than what we do now, a body that's not being worn down, a body that's in perfect shape all the time, that's provided by the Lord. Since we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Now, I think he's probably recalling the things that he wrote in what we call 1 Corinthians toward the end of the book. He talked about being clothed with immortality. And we see that same idea coming here, that we're not naked. We're not naked in our sin. We see that language used in the Scripture sometimes about our sinfulness, that they were naked and knew not that they sinned. It talks about Adam and Eve. And then all of a sudden their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. So that nakedness kind of talks about our sinfulness. But Paul uses that same example here when he says, when we are clothed, we will not be naked. So he's talking about getting a new body, a new dwelling place in heaven, but kind of also combining that with this idea of being clothed with righteousness and clothed with immortality. And he continues on in verse 4, indeed we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, it's interesting how he describes this body. He describes this body as a tent. He says, we groan while we are in this tent. Now, this is something that we can all understand. If anybody's ever slept in a tent before or saw a tent before, you know it's not much to a tent. I mean, they're made to be real simple because a lot of times people are toting them as they're hiking. You don't want anything that's heavy and elaborate. You want something as small as it can be. So tents serve a purpose. It gives you a place you can get in and zip up and hopefully at least keep the mosquitoes away from you and maybe keep you a little warmer than if you were out in the elements, keep the wind off of you. But tents are not made to last for any extended period of time. And over time, tents begin to deteriorate, and they get holes, and they get leaks, and the zipper breaks, and a tent is only a temporary thing. It's not made to last forever. Eventually, it serves its purpose, and it's done with. And that's how Paul describes our bodies here. He says, we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed. That is, we want to be in a place where we are taken care of, where we're not in these old bodies that are falling apart, where we're not struggling against sin, but that we are clothed with immortality. In verse 5, he says, and the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. So God has prepared us for the day that he's going to take us to be home with him. Now, while we're in this life, life is tough. Our bodies wear down, sickness hits, the stresses of life hits, the persecution sometimes for stepping up for the Lord's hits. These are all things that we go through as brothers and sisters in Christ. But God has something better prepared for us, something that he's prepared ahead of time so that when our time comes, that we will get to go into the presence of God for all of eternity. And how can we be assured of this? How can we be assured that there's something better coming? How can we know that God's going to follow through on his promise? Well, he says here that he gave us the Spirit as a down payment. So the moment we accept Jesus Christ, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we make him the king of our life, we choose to follow him, we receive the Holy Spirit. And that's a great thing. The Holy Spirit, it leads and it guides and it instructs us and it empowers us. We see that a lot in the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit didn't act in quite the same way in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. In the New Testament, everybody who comes to Jesus Christ receives the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, it appears as though the Holy Spirit, maybe it kind of came and went. Because you know, we see certain people at certain times that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them and they're able to prophesy or they're able to do mighty things and defeat mighty armies or whatever it may be. when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. And so Paul says, look, this is our evidence that we have been saved. This is our evidence that God loves us. This is our evidence that there is something better prepared for us, that God gives us the Holy Spirit in this life as a down payment to show us that, hey, look, I've got something better prepared for you. So we need to listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance, to the Holy Spirit's instructions. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to empower us. The Holy Spirit can empower us to do things that are beyond our control. So there may be things that God calls you to that you feel led to do, but you say, man, I'm not good enough to do that. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. But the Holy Spirit can empower us to do far greater things than we could ever imagine. And it's not on our own strength. It is due to the Lord's strength. Verse 6. So we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Okay, so as long as we're in this life, we know the Lord, we know the Word of the Lord, we know about Jesus Christ, we've received His Spirit, but we're not really fully in the presence of the Lord. Now, it's a joy to know and to experience the Lord in the way that we do, and to feel His presence in the way that we do, and to see that He answers our prayers, and just to know that He strengthens us in the way that He does right now, while we're in this body, while we're at home right here in our tents in this world. But there's coming a day that we are going to be at home with the Lord. But Paul says, look, when we're still in this world, as much as we experience God in the ways that we can, we're still not at home with God in the way that we will one day be. He says in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight, and we are confident and satisfied to be out of the body and home with the Lord. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. Now, isn't that a beautiful verse? Verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk knowing that God is good. What we see before us is often bad, and it's hardship for us, and it's situations that we don't know how we'll get out of or how God can do any good with this. But nonetheless, he says, we don't walk by what we see. We walk by our faith in God, knowing that God is good, God is in control, God is using us, God is not going to leave us and forsake us. And so for that reason, we continue to do the Lord's work. And we are confident and satisfied to be out of the body and at home with the Lord. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. So Paul says, whatever we do, whether we are here or whether we are in the presence of God, our goal is to please God. Our goal is to praise God. Our goal is to save God. Paul says, it doesn't matter where I am. He says, I want to be with the Lord, but I know that God's got a job for me to do here. I want to be with the Lord. I groan while I'm in this body, but I know that as long as I'm here, I need to serve the Lord. So it doesn't matter. I look forward to the day that I'll get to be with Him, Paul says, but it doesn't matter if I don't get to be with Him. Today or tomorrow or whenever the day is going to come, he says, I still desire to serve the Lord wherever I am. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or worthless. Now that's something to think about. Paul says, look, I want to live for the Lord. I want to serve Him. I want to please Him. I want to be obedient to Him because. Why does he want to do that? What is part of his motivation? It's a fear of the Lord, as we see in the next couple of verses. His motivation is this. He knows that one day every work that he does, every word that he says, or every word that he doesn't say, or every word that he doesn't do, he knows that one day he will have to stand before the tribunal of Jesus, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. For we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ. Now that's a scary thing to think about, that we must all stand before the tribunal of Christ. Now, those who have trusted Christ, I don't think our salvation is on the line here in this judgment, but I do think our works are going to be judged in some way. And what kind of works are we doing? Are they good works? Are they bad works? He says, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in this body. Now, I don't know what that payment's going to look like, what that reward's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I suspect it's going to be better to be rewarded than not rewarded when that day comes. We're all going to be judged by our works on that day, whether good or worthless. Or some translations would just say good or bad. So what about our works? What kind of stuff are we doing in our life? This is kind of a scary thing to think about. Stop for a second. Say, okay, one day I'm going to sit before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and these things that I'm doing are going to be brought up. Are we doing good things or are we doing bad things? Are we doing stuff that's worth something, or is the stuff we're doing worthless? And maybe we don't think about that enough. Maybe we should. Probably we don't want to. It's probably easier not to think about that. But perhaps we would change the way we lived if we thought more about that question. Perhaps that's how Paul can live the way that he lives. It's because he does think about that question. He does ponder that question. He does let that question drive his life and the decisions he makes and the ways that he serves the Lord. Is he doing good? Is he doing bad? Are we doing good or are we doing bad? We want to do things that are good. We want to do good works, not for ourselves, but to serve the Lord. Paul's desire is not a pat on the back. It's not so everybody can say, oh, look how great Paul is. It's not so we can stand here 2,000 years later and praise Paul. We're not praising Paul. We're praising the Lord. And we praise the Lord for people like Paul that stood up to serve the Lord and be a good example to us. And write words like this that we can grow from. So maybe these words can be an encouragement for us tonight. That we can know that, look, these old bodies are wearing out. They're like tents. We enjoy them while we have them. They're good while they last. But over time, they begin to tear down and we long for something better. And praise the Lord, we have something to long for. We have some hope to know that there is a building in the heavens that will not be destroyed. A building in the presence of God that will be forever. And there's a lot of hope and encouragement in that. Maybe we need to look at the question that Paul leaves us with here. And that is, are the works that we're doing, are they good or are they worthless? But we want to be those who are obedient to God. We want to be those who follow Him. We want to be those who do good works. We want to be those who trust in Jesus Christ and put our faith in Jesus Christ and find our hope in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we come to you tonight. We thank you for these good words. And I pray that you be with us as we groan in this world. God, it is tough. There are days that we just are worn out from the world and the stresses and the pains and the sicknesses and all the stuff in this world. So, dear Lord, I pray that you encourage us that while we're in these old tents, that we just keep going. God, even if they're falling apart, I pray that you help us to keep going as long as we can go with our eyes looking above, looking ahead. Dear Lord, focused on being in your presence. And I pray, God, that you would help us to continue to seek you and serve you and live for you as long as we can, to do what we can and to do good works for you, dear Lord. Help us to see the things in our lives maybe that are worthless so that we would be able to get those things out with your help and your power. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.